2019. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. Sir, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And would you do us the honor of introducing today's guest?
Our guest today is Chris DeMauro from the Art of the Game podcast. He is a gambler, a podcaster. He was my host up at MGM Springfield, I guess informal host. And I have known Chris now for about 3 years. And he's been a friend and a colleague. Happy to have him on.
Chris, hey, welcome. What's happening, friends? This is pretty exciting.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, welcome to the show.
There's a Vito-esque quality to your voice, Chris, that I don't think I realized before today.
There's a Vito-esque quality.
Yeah, you have a very Vito-esque, like, gravelly-ness to your voice, and also your cadence. It's actually eerily similar. I kind of did I don't know if you do a double take while listening, but I definitely checked the monitor to make sure it wasn't Vito on the call as well.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much. I guess I'll take that.
Can you do a whoa?
Let's see. I listen to a lot of Vito too, right? So, whoa, welcome.
Yeah,
how was that, Vito?
Let's slow down on how much we're giving Vito some love here. All right, now,
You can cut all this shit. You don't have to air any of the Vito love.
We can start at the top again.
Yeah. But I will say though, I find it interesting that you're just now pointing this out, Eric. It's one of the first things I thought about when I first heard Chris on a podcast was how he has a Vito style delivery and voice.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hey. Well, you know, we're both from New England. You know, he's about an hour and 20 minutes south of me. We're both in the western New England side. And all of our, I guess, I want to say the word lexicon, but how we speak, you know, when I meet people from other parts of the country, one of the first things they say to me is, you know, you don't sound like Mark Wahlberg because you're from Massachusetts. You don't have that same accent. And, you know, folks that are pretty much west of Worcester really lose that accent considerably. And I find that people that are down really very similar points down in New Haven, they also have kind of a similar voice. We're both Italian Irish, I think. So we kind of have that kind of background growing for us. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I listened to a little bit too much Cousin Vito's podcast in the past couple of years.
Well, unlike Vito, you have not wasted any of my time yet. So you have that going for you.
Terrific.
I might even leave that in. I don't know. Living the better life means incorporating gambling into other parts of your life outside of it. It's actually the inspiration for the better life was that concept. We're talking about you before the show started. You were talking about your kids and Halloween. This show is being released on Halloween Day. Curious if gambling has ever crept into October 31st for either of you. Eric, we'll start with you.
Oh, boy. I wish I had something to add here. No, nothing. I do know somebody who is going as it's a couple. They're going as Hans and Heidi from the Heidi's Beer House slot machine.
Okay.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah.
But, you know, it takes a certain kind of degenerate to go to a costume party and expect people to know who Hans and Heidi are with general population people.
Yeah.
Maybe they can have one of those, you know, how they have those little recorders. They can have like a roll out the barrels. And then, you know, maybe some gamblers will be like, oh, yeah, I know that sound.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about like having to explain that at a party. Yeah. we're the couple from the slot machine.
Slot machine.
I remember one year when I lived in Sacramento, I went to Vegas and I bought one of those shirts, right? That says like girls to you or whatever, right? Or hot girls to your room, whatever. With the intention of being one of the card slappers at my local Halloween party. But on the morning that I left Vegas, I went to play some craps, and I left the bag underneath on the craps table. Mm. And so that shirt never made it home with me. And I thought it'd be really, really awkward if I just handed out those cards without the shirt on. So
I don't – wait. The party was not in Vegas. The party was back home?
Yes.
So if you went as a porn slapper for a costume party, you think – anybody there would know who that was
or
who you were supposed to be?
In California, yes. In California, with enough people that take short trips to Vegas, I think enough people with the shirt would have gotten the joke. But I think without the shirt, I'm just a weird guy who's handing out naked women on cards.
You're like, oh, it's just Tim on Thursday. No problem.
Oh, yeah, Tim, when did you add the shirt? how about this for a fun gambling twist on Halloween? Instead of candy, along with candy, you give candy to the kids, and then you hand the adults just $5 futures bets. No? And M&M's for the princess, Starburst for Darth Vader, and $5 on the Bengals at 60-1 for the gentleman here. No,
I mean it's an idea. I'll give you that. It's an idea.
I'm swinging for the fences here. It's game sevens tonight. I decided to take try to swing for the fences myself here. Chris, has gambling ever crept into your October 31st?
Yeah, I'm gonna fold on that question. Sorry.
All right. Very well. Funny Halloween promo, Eric. I think you might find this amusing. I got an email from Hollywood Casino here in West Virginia. It's for a Halloween themed promotion that they're having, or at least a Halloween time frame. It's not even like Halloween themed; it's just like candy. But the subject line just reads, "Your free candy bar is waiting for you," and that's it. It doesn't indicate what the promotion might be. You open it up to find out that it's like a Willy Wonka type thing, right? Like you get, if you, you know, they actually have a candy bar, and if you have, but like just that subject line makes me feel like they're just handing out free candy. Like I expected when I opened this to get like get 50 slot points and get a free Hershey's bar, right? And so I think marketing could definitely be done better over at Hollywood Casino.
Well, last year, when Ocean Casino Resort was owned by Bruce Dyfick, back then it was Ocean Resort Casino, for those marketing experts out there, they handed out candy bars. What they didn't tell you was that some or maybe even all of them had free slot play inside the wrapper. So they put all of this money into putting free slot play out there, and people ate the chocolate or threw it out or whatever. Like, I can't tell you how many people I know went there, had the chocolate or was handed a chocolate bar and was not told that there was free play in there, and they just threw it out.
Oh, yeah, that's a guarantee right there. I'm like half in the bag. They handed me the chocolate. I'm like, oh, this is great. Eat free chocolate. Throw the thing out. Next thing you know, there was free play in there. I probably would have won the $100 free play. Probably crumpled it up and threw it right in the trash.
I think like the top ones were like 500, if memory serves. Oh. Like it was like a real number. They spent a lot of money. I mean, I guess free play not redeemed isn't really a hard cost, but you know, you went through the trouble of doing this to bring people in and then didn't tell people that you were doing it. You know, it's just
Whoever's idea that was in casino marketing didn't really get a really good Monday on that one, because they're going to come in and say, well, what are the numbers and results of that giveaway? And they say, geez, you know, not only were there no numbers produced, you know, 70% of the tickets weren't even cashed in.
Yeah. Fell under marketing. Oops.
Oops.
Oh, I mean,
meanwhile, there are people digging through the trash right now.
I was going to say the real advantage play was learning that early and then standing by the trash can and waiting for people to throw out their wrappers.
Dumpster diving for free play.
So what's the number? What's the number that would get you to dive in a dumpster? There's the spooktacular question for you, Tim. What's the number that it's going to take for you to dive into a dumpster for free play? Give it to us.
Like a legitimate dumpster, or like legitimate dumpster?
Like no. A Chinese food dumpster, that kind of dumpster. It's free play.
Is it
guaranteed
legal?
Free play?
Okay. So I need a couple more parameters. Do I have an idea of where it is? As in, like, oh, it's in that bag, let me find it, or it's needle in the haystack, and I'm like, I know it's in a dumpster somewhere. I have to search the entire dumpster to find it.
Okay, it's in a brown lunch bag, brown paper lunch bag.
I mean,
there's 500 of free play in there for you.
No way, not even close.
You're not jumping in a dumpster for $500?
I'm not jumping in there for hoping to find the 500 free play ticket. if there's 500 cash in that brown bag, I might like take a stick and move things around to see if I find it sooner. but I'm not diving for 500 in free play. Probably, you know what? Knowing my luck, I'd find it and walk inside. Won't be redeemable on video poker anyway. So,
ER, what's you? Are you in?
Not at all.
Not at all. You're not jumping
in for that. Now, there's definitely a number, but 500 doesn't even come close to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first number that came up when he first started talking about it, $5,000 was the floor. The floor.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm still. Really high. You guys are highbrow. I like that. Well, see, I'd probably find someone I could throw in that dumpster for the 500. And you know what? Truth be told, depending on what I was wearing, $500 is $500. I like this dead silence.
Yeah, you're on an island, my man. On an island. There is no fucking way I'm going to dumpster for 500 in free play.
Yeah. Like I said, 500 cash, I might try to take a stick, move things around, see if I can, like, if I could get to myself to a point where, like, okay, it's in that bag, then maybe I'm trying to find a way to get in there if it's, like, cash. Free play, no way.
All right. fun conversation. I finally started really smiling on this phone call, so this is really good.
it was a good question. I think I just think your line is off. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your line, Eric, and my line are probably two different lines. You know what I mean? And that's okay. That's what makes gambling fun, because everybody can have the thrill of action, right? That's what brings me to like a sport like skiing, because no matter what level that you're at, whether you're at that green circle level, or you're at that triple black diamond level, it's up to you at how much you want to scare yourself, how much you want to give that thrill. So for some people, that's a $2.50 bet at video poker. For other people, that's a $25,000 bet at blackjack. So really, gambling is really up to the individual and why discriminate on level of, you know, on level of play.
You know, on at that Halloween, where'd you say that promotion was? Ocean, Eric?
Yeah, at the time, Ocean Resort Casino.
Yeah, we'd be over there. People would be climbing out the dumpster with, like, can you believe people are throwing out free play? Chris is climbing out. Can you believe people are throwing out the candy bars? There's a perfectly good chocolate bar here. There's four of them in here.
Do you remember the Seinfeld episode where Costanza, like, ate an eclair off the top of the garbage can? But because it was on, like, it was hovering, it was on the top of the garbage, it wasn't touching anything else, then it was okay. That's about what I would do for 500 in free play into a dumpster. It would have to be, like sticking out on top, and I just have to put my hand over to grab it.
If I have eyes on the free play, I might go get it. Eyes on. Got to be able to see it from where I'm standing outside the dumpster.
I guess really maybe it's just a couple of bags. I can move it with a stick, and I don't have to go all the way in the dumpster. I got it. You guys are very highbrow.
All right.
Have a highbrow podcast.
All right. So you started this. So, I mean, I think it's pretty clear you're going in for 500. If it was – well, let me let you respond, I guess, before I continue.
Sure. So okay. I guess, first of all, for entertainment value, I will admit that I started the conversation for that level of entertainment value. And, you know, for $500, I guess it would have to depend on – you know, truth be told, what I was wearing, where I was going, and you know, what I was about that day. Unfortunately, you know, lately I've been pretty busy and usually dressed up, so I probably wouldn't jump in for the 500, Eric and Tim. But it certainly was fun trying to get you guys to do it. I would, you know, I don't know. What would I, for free play to get into the dumpster? Probably $525.
All right, Chris. Let's take this back. We're going to take all of these interviews when we're speaking to gamblers on the show, and that is your earliest exposure to gambling. Maybe not necessarily when you were first gambling, but like when you first saw it at home on TV, wherever it may be. What was your exposure to gambling?
Sure. For probably earliest I can remember, my grandmother, Nani, my uncle, playing cards, playing poker. I was taught it at a young age. Truth be told, I played in a casino in the Bahamas at 14. I played in the casino every year, Cable Beach Casino. I can name quite a few. I played blackjack. I played the big giant wheel, played roulette all at 14, 15, 16 years old in Aruba. I was at the Divvy Divvy playing at 16 and 17. So those are probably my earliest professional gambling experiences.
And then, like, as you're growing up, what has you inspired to get out? Like, did you hit a casino, like, as soon as you're able? Like, is the continuity of gambling like that for your life? Or go ahead.
I'm fascinated by it, right? So I'm a regular guy. I like pretty sparkly things. Casinos are filled with pretty sparkly things. It attracts me. I also am kind of a sucker for the better life. No pun intended. You know, I really like nice things. I like exquisite meals. I like fabulous views. I like nice clothing. I like pretty women. I like all of those things. I'm a regular red-blooded American guy. And it seems like today, casinos seem to offer that experience for me. So to answer your question, Tim, so Foxwoods opened in 1986 when their casino opened here in Connecticut. So that's about an hour and a half from where I live. I truth be told, I probably snuck in before I was 21 to that casino. And then after, you know, as soon as I was of age, I was at that casino as well. I guess I always enjoyed being there. It was just fun. You know, there's just something about it. There's something about the energy and the excitement. MGM opened up their Foxwoods Tower, MGM Fox Tower. And to me, that kind of got my attention. I started to go down a little bit more. My wife and I would spend the night. They had their nightclub at the time before we had our daughter. And I really liked going out. And I was also in a little bit of the entertainment nightclub industry at one time. So Shrine was just hot. It was a hot club. I was guest for P. Diddy's, had a couple of parties there, and really enjoyed my time at MGM Foxwoods. And that was kind of where I got, I guess, more interested in spending the night, having the dinners, going out to the nightclubs, going to the after parties, and all that good stuff. And, of course, playing the games. And back in 2009, my wife and I took a fabulous trip out to Lake Tahoe, and we spent, better part of 3 weeks. And at the tail end of that trip, I had booked a room at Harvey's Lake Tahoe, Harvey's and Harrah's. I didn't expect to like it so much. And truth be told, we ended up extending our stay. We had a heck of a trip and ended up in a big, 1,300 square foot suite. And it was a great time. And that was it. After that trip, I was hooked. And pretty much every 6 months, I ended up at a different Caesars property having a great time.
Nice. What were your games early on? Like, where was your action going earlier on?
You know, it's pretty much stayed the same throughout my entire gambling career. I'm a roulette player. I really like playing slot machines. The past few years, I've been enjoying video poker, and I'm starting to get into PyGo.
Very good. What are your numbers on roulette?
Red 12, black 13, and I like to play the upper corners.
Okay. Any significance on those numbers?
So that trip to Lake Tahoe, it's funny. I talked to you about gambling and like how I snuck into casinos at a young age, but it was all more for like the excitement and the thrill. Like, I'm a thrill person. Okay. I want that feeling. And, so part of it was like, just to be there. But then I met my wife about 20 years ago, and her father and her grandfather on her mother's side were like unbelievable gamblers. Like, it was their life. And I guess they kind of took me under their wing. I mean, some of the best card games I ever had were sitting around my mother-in-law's table after like an Easter dinner with Papa Bob. I mean, there was a couple hundred dollars in the pot, and it was a good game. So I guess those guys kind of, they also used to bet dogs, and we would go up to Hinsdale every Sunday and bet dogs together. And that really, I guess, kind of got me back into just really you guys kind of less of the experience and more of the action, more of the gambling. And so then when we got together and then we ended up out at Lake Tahoe, my wife was the one who said, come on, let's really play roulette and let's play hard. And she started going hard on Red 12 straight up. And by the end of the night, the whole table bet with her. And I got to tell you, we made money on that vacation. So it was really good.
Yeah, very good. You said slots. You said video poker, just starting to learn how getting into Pai Gow now. Like, do you have certain slot machines that you're playing right now? I know people have certain themes or certain
sure.
top variations. What draws you in?
So Pirate Ship was a big favorite of mine. It's phased out. You don't see it a lot anymore. I know there's a couple down in Caesars in Atlantic City that I saw. I used to really like that machine. I like pirate based machines, you know, like to fancy myself a pirate. You know, everybody has their childhood dreams. You know, somebody wants to be a knight in shining armor. I always thought it'd be fun to be out on the open sea. So I like that. I like that game. I was a quick hits guy for a little while. I enjoyed that. Gold Bar Sevens. What else? So I've been staying away from like the branded stuff, but I have to admit that new Tarzan game gets my attention every time I walk by it and you hear the, oh, so, you know, and I get excited about that stuff. When the first Wizard of Oz Ruby Slippers came out, my wife really liked that. We really enjoyed hitting that. And really it's just, you know, I guess every trip for me, I kind of like, I pick a machine. And that's like, it seems like that's my machine. I'm battling with that machine all trip. So the last trip I was just playing like a Monte Carlo, I think it was a $5 spin, just regular old, you know, triple reel machine.
How's it, what has your experience been having two gamblers in the household with you and your wife?
You know, it's expensive.
So one question I always have, or that I think of when I talk to couples that gamble, when you and her go on a trip, whether it's a day trip or an extended trip, do you have a pooled budget that you're both pulling from for gambling, or do you each have individual budgets?
Yeah. So, I think pretty much because I've been married for a long time. So we have my wife's budget and whatever else I'm allowed. So no, she's pretty good. Like, so she plays and hedges. And if she knows she has a trip coming, it's amazing what she pulls out of her little purse. She's like, oh, by the way, I have this. And she has been working on this little mini bankroll that she has for herself. So I know that she always has something. But for the most part, yes, we say, we're going to spend X amount per day this is the entire bankroll that we have for the 5 days. So we do like a 5 or 6 day trip down to Caesars in Atlantic City every summer. That's usually probably our biggest play. And that's, you know, what we bring our big bankroll for.
Yeah. And so your daily bankroll is what you both have to play with collectively.
Yeah. And based on how we're doing, you know, everything is shared in our house. You know, when I first met my wife, when I had this like real macho thing, right, guys? I'm like, you know, I'm going to pay for this and you just pay for that. And she was smart. She goes, you know, we both make the same money. Let's put it all together and we're going to whack all the bills up. And that's just how it goes. And that's just how we kind of treat our gambling budget. If I do really well on the slots and all of a sudden I'm up, I'm going to give her some extra. You know, we're there to have fun. I'm there prepared to lose that amount of money that I'm there with if I can turn it into something even more. So we move it around. It's a fluid conversation throughout the entire trip. We're a team. We're a team, you guys. You know what I mean? We're a team in everything that we do.
I like that. That's good. So you have a podcast, Art in the Game.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Springfield Gaming and Entertainment Podcast. Give me the elevator pitch on this podcast.
Hey, the Springfield Gaming and Entertainment Podcast. So what Art in the Game is really a show to have people have fun, learn about the casino, learn about everything that Springfield has to offer, really centric around MGM Springfield and, you know, maybe like its rewards programs and things like that, the restaurants, the food, the things that I think that are fun and exciting, and, you know, have a great time and try to bring people to the casino every week.
So what I find really interesting about this, about your podcast is You know, like you said, you talk about Springfield in general in some ways, but the common thread of your podcast is MGM Springfield. And I think it's interesting that you have a show dedicated to one property, and I commend you on being able to do that, because you know I've spoken to other podcasters in this community. It's difficult to have regular content. Or to have content on a regular basis when you have all of gambling available to you. You have one property. Tell me about how you're approaching that challenge.
Oh, well, it's not a challenge for me at all. Okay, so I'm from Springfield, you guys. My name is Chris DeMauro. My uncle was Teddy DeMauro. He was a mayor for two terms here in the late 70s. This is a city that we have deep roots in, and I believe in it. You know, I love this city. I think it's beautiful. You know, Dr. Seuss wrote many of his books right here in Springfield, and a lot of the illustrations that you see are all inspirations from architecture and things that you can see every day downtown, just blocks from MGM. We have a lot to celebrate. We're the city of firsts. We invented a lot of things here in Springfield, you know, and it's fantastic that, you know, I guess I'm delighted that any company poured $960 million into a neighborhood that nobody could have cared less about 10 years ago. Yeah. So for us, you know, for me, I'm happy, right? Because I've got, you know, family members, friends, neighbors, they have jobs now. There's an economy that's occurring in our area that just really wasn't this present in the past. So for me, there's a lot to talk about right now, guys. It's not just the gambling and the action that's on the 125,000 square feet of gaming floor at MGM Springfield. It's not, you know, I mean, I can rattle them off. I can tell you how many blackjack tables are. You know, I can tell you how many slot machines there are. I can't help it. I'm a numbers person. I memorize things and I enjoy, you know, letting people know about the property. So, yeah, it's easy to, you know, this is a target-rich environment for me when it comes to content, gang. I can do this all day.
So what I think is interesting about that is, first of all, what kind of Dr. Seuss tour is it? If I went up there and wanted to see Dr. Seuss specific things,
you got it. Oh, thank you so much. So number one, we have a beautiful museum. It's called the Springfield Quadrangle and the Springfield Museum. It's about a 4-block walk from the MGM Springfield campus. On that campus of the museums, there is the Dr. Seuss Memorial Sculpture Garden, which is absolutely beautiful. And then there's also the dedicated, brand new, just opened last year, the Dr. Seuss Museum, where you can learn absolutely everything you possibly want to know about Dr. Seuss, the house he grew up in, where his grandfather operated a brewery, everything about Dr. Seuss, and right down to, you know, his bedroom. You can take a look at that and where he drew his photos, and where he came up with the inspirations for many of his stories and illustrations. And that's, you know, 4 blocks from here. I'd love to walk you up there, Tim.
I'm not going to lie. MGM Springfield seems nice. I may be hooked now on the Dr. Seuss tourism that may be available in Springfield.
It's not just the Dr. Seuss either. So right at that quadrangle, we have a beautiful science museum.
You don't have to sell it. Dr. Seuss had me.
All right. No, we got a lot more. I mean, the library itself was donated by Andrew Carnegie. There's so much to see. We have a fine art museum on that campus. Renoir, Monet, Picasso, all there. You can go and, you know, for a very small price of admission, you can go and look at these priceless works of art and be in their presence, and it's worth every moment.
So, Eric, I've heard your voice a couple times. Do you have something to add?
Well, I just wanted to say, so Chris took me for the walk around that quadrangle and showed me, you know, some of the buildings that were, I guess, the inspiration for the Seuss illustrations. And I'm going to be very honest, I went just to be polite. I wasn't really interested, so to speak, as it would appear that you are.
Yeah.
But as I went and I saw them, and I could immediately picture the illustrations from my childhood,
yeah,
it really was very cool.
That's cool.
It was one of those things where my expectations were honestly very low, and what I actually got out of it was substantial in nature. It was really cool.
That is cool.
Oh, thank you for saying that, Eric. I really do appreciate that.
So yeah. you brought up, you know, the, like, your friends have jobs, and I think the economy surrounding a casino, especially sort of a one-off one like that one, is, I think, is really fascinating. One of the things that I've always had trouble with as a casino patron, as a gambler, is you go to some areas where there's a casino, and you can just tell from where the casino's placed, from the neighborhoods around it, that that casino is sucking life out of the neighborhood that it is in. I think Hollywood Casino in Columbus is a good example. In a lot of casino areas, you don't have to go very far off of away from the casino to find impoverished neighborhoods. How have you found? It sounds so far optimistic and positive, but tell us more about the economic impact so far of MGM Springfield.
So, and from here, from where I'm sitting, 7 minutes from the property, the economic impact has been positive. We haven't seen, from where I can see, we haven't seen like a catastrophic gambling issue. We have a very strong Massachusetts Gaming Commission was pretty stringent about GameSense is our gaming program up here. And they're very strong about educating gamblers here in the Bay State. So I can't say myself that I've seen some heavy duty negative impacts in that regard. Now, as far as neighborhoods and things like that. I mean, the neighborhood that MGM poured almost $1 billion into wasn't the most fabulous neighborhood in town. And quite frankly, now Wahlburgers is going up on the corner of Main and Union. There's no way in hell that Wahlburgers was going up in the corner of Main and Union before MGM came into Springfield. There's a brand new, there's a bunch of new development gentrification happening in that neighborhood. The neighborhood is the South End neighborhood. It's the old Italian neighborhood. And that has long been changed over in many ways. So, yeah, I mean, Springfield is not unlike many economically depressed areas that we've had some difficult times. And there are, tough neighborhoods in town, and some of those neighborhoods aren't that far from MGM Springfield. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there's definitely some definitely tough neighborhoods. That being said, MGM, along with Springfield and states pouring in, over 30, I think it's like $14 million a year extra into the downtown police force with added police kiosks, added police foot patrols. I mean, especially on any type of event Friday and Saturday evening, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting a live cop.
I'm just picturing swinging a dead cat without hitting a live cat. That's even better.
You guys don't swing dead cats and hit live cops around here.
I will tell you, I went to MGM Springfield twice. Maybe it was one trip and two. Anyway, I left the property, and I want to say maybe I was 5 minutes from the property, and it went downhill like real fast. I think I stopped for gas.
So, yeah, if you take a right out of the hotel instead of a left out of the hotel, it gets rough quick.
I took the right, and getting gas, like, I had to keep my head on a swivel. It was definitely not the resort environment I had just left.
You could have got more than gas.
I could have got a lot more than gas. Yeah.
It was an oddly efficient stop.
This town's great. No, we don't want to. If you take a left out of the hotel or the casino and you go towards Main Street, you're heading more towards downtown. As you take a right, you're heading south. And then it gets less developed, we'll say.
Yeah. So sports betting creeping up into so many more states. Massachusetts still kind of behind as far. I don't have a whole lot. I haven't seen anything really updated. I know back in April, the Massachusetts House of Representatives delayed Representative Baker, or I'm sorry, Governor Baker's bill that proposed proposed sports betting in Massachusetts. Now, the bill would allow betting from smartphones, so mobile betting, and then of course brick and mortar inside of MGM Springfield and Encore. And I haven't been there, Chris. I don't know if you see anything, Eric. I'm curious what your thoughts were. Do you see any space in MGM Springfield that looks like it's already either built out or prepared to adapt a sports book should that go Massachusetts way?
So, yes, absolutely. If you tune into my episode where I interview COO Michael Mathis, he actually leaked before it was open the brand new Island Bar that's in the north. We call the Mass Mutual corner, or the northwest corner of the casino property. There's a brand new bar with about 22 video poker tabletops. And there's also a ton of sports machines, or not sports machines, screens where you can watch all different types of games. Right behind there, they just put in a bunch of video poker there. But I believe that is exactly where they're going to be taking bets. And that is going to be their central area for sports betting. And that's what Michael Mathis said to us on that episode.
Gotcha. Eric, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I obviously Chris is there, right?
Right.
But this I think that episode is probably a couple of months old at this point. So it definitely was talked about. But so what I'm going to add isn't necessarily about the property, but about sports betting in the Northeast as a whole.
Okay.
Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but I believe that most of Massachusetts is a lot like New York and New Jersey, and that the sports betting is happening anyway.
Yeah.
And right. So, I mean, in some areas where they're opening up licensed sports books, it's really a new thing to people. But I would imagine if I went down any of the safer roads in Springfield, I could probably find a guy to take my action right now.
You know, and there's that conversation. I agree. Sports betting has been a part of Massachusetts for a long time. I believe it was last year, it was $680 million was wagered in offline gray accounts, something like that in 2017 from Bay State rate, you know, gamblers. So, you know, it's a part of our culture. Mm-hmm. That being said, the Governor Baker bill that you did mention, Tim, has a, if I'm not mistaken, a $500,000 license. That's every 5 years and $100,000 renewal. And I think it's $100,000 application fee as well. So it would allow for other brick and mortar, not just for the casino, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
But, you know, there's a pretty large contingent here in Mass. They have a group actually called Fair Play Massachusetts, and I've had them also on the show. And what they're actually pushing for is this sports legislation to be pushed and also kind of to be extended to your Massachusetts State Lottery and Keno operators. They're saying that, you know, they can take smaller wages, maybe similar to Delaware, right with their lottery as well. So there's a lot of people are in this conversation right now here in Massachusetts.
Part of that bill would prohibit wagering on NCAA events.
Collegiac is out in Mass.
So tell me about your relationship with the property through the lens of the podcast. How and you can speak on this however you would like approach this. I'm sure listeners are curious sort of what your relationship has been with them, and you talk about them and you naturally inspire people to come to their property. What's that, you know, what sort of rapport have you built with them, and what's that that professional relationship like?
Well, you know, I'm out to create an entertaining show that does just that, entertains folks when they tune in every week. And part of that is having access to, you know, maybe the different stars, the different celebrities and the different folks that are newsmakers that are coming to the area. So I try to, I guess I'm very proud of the level of access that I have through their media department. And what I do here, you guys, this isn't like a shtick, right? This is me. A good friend of mine once said, this isn't what you do, this is who you are. And I can't help but do this. And I'm going to do it, you know, whether they recognize it or not. And it just so happens that, you know, they have recognized my authenticity and they like it. And I guess a lot of my listeners like it. And it makes me really happy, you guys, because I really love doing this.
Very good. You have an event coming up in just over a week, I believe, called Thanks Gambling.
Oh, yes, we do.
I dig
the
name.
Yeah, thanks, Gambling. Thank you so much. Yeah, so did the, you know, it's funny. We toyed around with the name, and we had this, you know, Springfield Slotacular, and we had Thanks Gambling. And when I uttered Thanks Gambling, the casino marketing people snapped right to attention and said, oh, we like that. That's great for the time and the date that we have. So, yeah, you know, we've put together, I can't really speak about this without mentioning my co-host, Cousin Vito, who you brought up earlier in our interview. He's my co-host for this Northeast Casino Meetup called Thanks Gambling that we're hosting here at MGM Springfield. And essentially, you know, I started a closed group on Facebook, you guys, called Art in the Game. It's the MGM Springfield closed group. And it really was kind of modeled after that that Atlantic City closed group that we're all members of, because I've been members of it for years. And I think that's how Eric and I actually met, I think, in the very beginning days, was through that closed group. So one of the things that, you know, I guess I was enamored by was the space that it gave to allow community to take place, and not only community, but for education for people. You know, I mean, there's a little, you know, magnifying glass. You can click on a group, and if you have a question about something, you type it into that magnifying glass, and chances are that there might have been somebody else asking that question. That information's right there. So having that open access to information and educating people really, really excited me. And especially here in Springfield in Western Massachusetts, because there's a lot of folks, you guys, who've never been to a casino, right? I grew up, you know, doing this and enjoying it, and we all know that there's certain etiquette and there's certain rules, and you don't want to be embarrassed when you go to the casino. So I wanted to create a space that was an open, fun place to learn about how to have the most fun when you visit a casino, and specifically MGM Springfield, because then we can even tell you like where are the best restaurants to go to, even off a property, you guys. And if you should go onto my show, into my website, you'll see that, you know, I don't just talk about MGM. You know, I take people to the Student Prince, to the Fort. We go to the Springfield Jazz Festival. I cover Barrett Jackson for Barrett Jackson, Donna Mohegan's son. You know, it's all about the New England casino, I guess, experience, the experience of that better life, of that high roller life. Lifestyle that we all wish we could live every day, and some of us every once in a while, if we play our cards right, get to live it a few times a year.
I'm curious on a few things. Red carpet VIP tier match welcome.
Oh yeah, you said that really great, Tim. So
thank you.
So what we're doing here at Thanks Gambling is I guess the easiest way to say this is that I wanted to create an event that not only thanked my listeners and our closed group members, but it rolled out a red carpet for new gamblers to come and visit MGM. Maybe there's some listeners out there who, you know, maybe play at Foxwoods, maybe play down at Atlantic City, and they've thought about coming up to MGM. Maybe they have some offers and they've just, you know, they haven't had the reason to be pushed over the edge. And I wanted to give us an opportunity to do that, to push them over the edge, say, come on up and be with us. So what we're going to do, anyone who comes in and checks in at 2:30, they're going to be tier match. We're going to have hosts right there. And so let's say you're a diamond at Caesars. Well, you're going to be matched to MGM Gold right away before any play, before any coin in. If you have a free play offer from Caesars or from Foxwoods or Mohegan or from Encore, Boston Harbor, it's pretty much Massachusetts, Connecticut, and AC. Up to $100, they're going to match that free play and load it to your card. Also, everybody who checks in is getting a $15 drink chip, because we're going to have a little cocktail hour right there, a little meet and greet with Vito and I. And you're going to be able to sign up for a group $100 high limit slot pull. And everybody who signs up for that slot pull, Tim and Eric, is going to get a $20 in free play from MGM. So it's kind of a little incentive, you know, a little 20% off the slot pull. And after the slot pull, we are going to have a birthday party for Cousin Vito at 6 o'clock inside of the Commonwealth Bar. And this entire time, one of the reasons that you're registering, you know, not only because it's a private event, they're going to be tracking your play all day. And at 9:30 at a surprise location, we're going to have a final kind of grand finale party where they're going to be awarding some prizes. So the person who gets the most, who earns the most slot points during Thanks Gambling will be given $500 in slot play. And the person who earns the most table points will get $500 in free table play. And then there's going to be two other kind of like more raffle prizes. And like, just for instance, one of the prizes is a signed Patriots helmet with a certificate of authenticity. So it's really neat kind of secondary prizes too. So I guess that's kind of, I mean, almost a whole rundown, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know if I have to ask about anything else, because you definitely hit all the main points here. Eric, what do you got?
I'm letting inertia take over, man. I'm along for the ride.
You guys know you can't stop me. Okay. I mean, I get going. I'm like a stone running downhill. You know, I have a lot of energy. I love this stuff. So thank you so much for, you know, giving me the time. And I'd like to thank your listeners for, you know, just allowing me to speak to you guys. You know, I invite you to come on up to Springfield. If it's not for Thanksgiving on November 9th, come up some other time. You're welcome to get in touch with me. I'll do my very best to make sure your experience is a good one. You know, but thanks gambling is something that, you know, I basically, you guys, I'm a gambler, right? I've leveraged, you talk about my relationship with the property, Tim. Here's the deal. I've leveraged my entire relationship with the property on this event. I'll be straight with you. I was told this is either going to be the first of many or your last. So I'm going all, so there it is, players. I'm going all in. I got my stack is shoved in. I got over a year's worth of work, 45 episodes, a ton of blog posts, and a lot of man hours on this project. And I'm doing it all to make this community a more fun, a more connected, and a better place to be.
I dig it. So when you first brought this to them, were they like, tell us more? Or like, did you have to do some convincing? Like, what was your pitch to them? Tell us about like how you brought this to them.
So how I brought it to them. So I do, as I mentioned earlier, I do very well with a couple of their departments, and one of them is their public relations and media group. So they dig the show. They like what I'm doing. And again, I've had some of their top executives on the show to break, you know, stuff before the news even gets to hear it. So we have a great working relationship. So then they introduced me to the casino marketing department, and it's kind of a different animal. You know, that's just a real business, you guys. You know, it's exposure for gain. And it wasn't easy. I mean, I had to jump through a lot of hoops. I mean, we have a room rate. Oh, I should mention right now, so the show's going to release tomorrow. It's still available. We have a block discount room rate for all those attending Thanksgiving. It can be found on my website. You can just click right on it. It's only $189. Room rates, because we have such a limited amount, especially the long weekend, they're over $600 that weekend. So it's a real savings. So just getting that room rate was, and getting the link active and having it all set up in their systems, you know, that was a hurdle. I tried to do a lunch with a buffet and this whole thing. That was like a nightmare. It's been a lot of work, to be honest with you, a lot more than I ever anticipated. But you know what? I don't mind doing it, you guys, because I kind of like this stuff. I'm in production anyway in the entertainment business. I like fast pace. I like having to get things done. I like overcoming challenges on a daily basis. And at the very end, what happens when you're working on a project, whether it's in film or video or broadcast production, you work your ass off for weeks and hours on end. At the very end, you get 2 minutes of beauty. And what I'm trying to make here is from 2:30 to 10 o'clock at MGM Springfield on the 9th, you know, that sweet spot of 7 hours of gambling Xanadu, where we're all having fun together. We're eating food. We're playing games. And you know what else, you guys? I want to learn some stuff, because I don't know anything about gambling. I listen to your show. You guys are like, you know, I'm not like this seasoned high roller. I play, you know, roulette and slot machines. Give me a break, right? But I want to learn. I play craps for my second time ever at Mohegan Sun last week. I'm not afraid to tell you. I'm green at this stuff, and I bet you a lot of my listeners and my friends are green at different games, and they've maybe been intimidated to come and learn. Well, don't be intimidated. You can come on down to Thanks Gambling. Our members and friends are going to help you out. I'll teach you how to play roulette. I bet you some friends will teach you how to play craps. We'll go play some Pai Gow. Why can't this be more fun for everybody?
Yeah.
Have I exploded on you guys yet? Are you ready for this? You coming to Thanks Gambling? Come on. We got to go.
Oh, I am now. Unfortunately, I have Veterans Day weekend obligations. Otherwise, I would attempt to get up that way for Thanks Gambling. This does events like this, like Gamble Pool is a great example. Events like this that are themed with gambling, I really enjoy them. For those that are thinking about going to Springfield, whether it's for Thanks Gambling or otherwise, let's give them a few recommendations, few leads inside the property. First of all, give us your favorite food option inside the property.
I bet you Eric could answer this one for lunch at least.
This is going to be the Cobb salad at Tap.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I love the Cobb salad. Eric likes it too.
I'm a big fan, actually, and to get me to compliment a bar's salad offering, you know, that actually says something. But yeah, that was, you know, Chris has talked about it many times on his show. And when I went to go visit, I was like, all right, man, show me your Cobb salad. I hear so much about it. It was good. It was really good.
Yo, I needed a chill on asking for another guy's Cobb salad. This is the new Fitzgerald's, Eric.
Can you make that sound again, Chris?
Turkey Cobb salad. No, they're actually, it's funny. My group razzes me, and like every week, and we have about 600 members to the group, and they're pretty active at the casino, and they're continuously ordering the Chris Cobb every time. And actually, servers are telling me now that people are calling it the Chris Cobb, so it makes me laugh when I hear that. The other food, I will tell you, I finally had the opportunity to eat at Chandler's, and I had the opportunity to eat at Calmar. That's Michael Mina's, their celebrity restaurant. And I got to tell you, both of them are really, they hit the mark for like that really nice casino dining experience. And I'm trying to figure out a reason to go to Chandler's again. I might even do it for dinner at Thanksgiving.
Very good. It's 9:30. I've done some gambling, but I'm ready to take a break, but it's not time to go head back to the room yet. Where do I go to get a cocktail?
Oh, all right. Great question. So the first, depending on, you know, what level, you know, do you want to get rid of the casino? Do you want to just lose the sounds of the casino completely and just go to another place? Or do you want to go to a really posh, like in the center of the casino kind of a bar?
What's that center? Let's tell us about that center spot.
So the center spot is called the Commonwealth Bar. It's dead center in the gaming floor. Actually, both there are three bars on the casino floor. Two of them, one of which is the Commonwealth, and the other one is the Walk-Up Bar. They're literally back to back. So it's like if you can imagine a square and then like a little cube in the center of the square. That's where both of those bars are. The Walk-Up's kind of lowbrow, and the Commonwealth is really swanky. One of their bartenders, Brian, he's been there since opening. He's a fantastic bartender. I think I introduced Eric to him and when he was there. Just a really great guy, nice, fun to talk to, and just a really nice atmosphere. And their waitresses wear, you know, really, really great outfits, so it's a nice place to be. They also do a DJ thing there late night. I think they close the curtains up after 11.
Very well. And I noticed there's a Regal Cinema. Is it inside the property?
Yeah, it is. It's on the second floor, actually, and it's really nice. I think there's seven screens up there, and they've got a full bar, and they've got really good food. It's not just like popcorn and Raisinets, and there's like giant leather recliners with tables. I'm actually excited. The new Frozen movie's coming out, and I'm trying to get my daughter, who's 8, to do like a whole day with me where we're going to go to Tap, play the arcade games, go maybe do the bowling, and then do the movies, and then go home. So I'm hoping to do something like that.
Very good.
One of the interesting perks about the property is if you're M Life Platinum, they actually give you free movie tickets.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's wow. Right, yeah. Eric.
Yeah,
and you also get a free Tap bowling experience or a free Top Golf experience. I think once a year.
Oh yeah, I gotta go
for
back
you
for
and
that.
Like four or six friends.
Yeah,
and I could raise my hand. I want to be one of your friends when you come
all
back.
Right. I want to go bowling. I don't want to do the swing suite, but yeah, let's get a lane over at Tap and have a good time.
$25 a bowler, winner take all.
Oh, you could get your checkbook out now.
Oh, really?
You want me to text you my score from last weekend?
Oh, shit, you're really good.
From last weekend?
I had no idea.
Low 200s.
Oh, man.
That's my average. Yeah. Low. 205, 207 in that. Ballpark,
all right, so if he's 205, what kind of handicap do you need to make this a fair? You need a 50, 75? What do you need?
Yeah, he's gonna have to spot. I would go for a spot of 50.
Oh man,
I'm having
Eric,
fun, you guys.
Eric, do you have any final thoughts, questions, either for Chris or regarding MGM Springfield?
Well, I would just say to the listeners, if you can make it out to Thanks Gambling, I'd really recommend you do it. I think MGM Springfield is a cool property worth checking out. If I were not otherwise already obligated, I would definitely be attending this event. Come on out, meet Chris, meet Vito if you haven't met him yet. And if you recall, I mentioned there were plenty of advantageous opportunities there. I haven't been back since, but my assumption is that, Encore is probably still stealing their better dealers. So you probably have quite a bit that could be done on the MGM floor.
Yeah. And, you know, just to add, I mean, that's an interesting way to put it. And that, you know, if you guys hear that, that's a nice incentive. But another thing I will say, too, if you do have some players and you know, you want to bring in, you know, I would say anywhere from 5K up a day of action, even for Thanks Gambling, you can reach out to me directly and I'll put you directly in touch with the host department as well. And I'm sure they'll be happy to take care of, your stay and stuff like that. They indicated to me if, you know, when players are coming at that level to let them know and they'd be happy to, you know, take a hard look at their rating.
And Chris did that for me, and they comped everything up front and treated me exceptionally well. And the offers to come back have been quite lucrative, actually. Just the timing hasn't worked out. It's a tweener, right? It's a little bit too far for it to just be like a day trip or maybe even an overnight trip, but not quite the get on an airplane and spend, you know, 3-4 days there.
Well, we would love to have you back up. I know that's for sure. I loved when you were up here, and I can't wait. I can't wait for you to come back up. And, you know, I want to take you up to we get Tim up here. I got to bring him up to the Dr. Seuss Museum. Tim, if you come up, I'm going to take you to the restaurant. I can sit you in the booth where Dr. Seuss sat and wrote his stories and drank beers. Okay. We're going to go to the Student Prince, the oldest restaurant in Springfield, 5 blocks from the property. I'll sit you in that booth. We'll have the manager come over. We'll have a drink. You're going to love it.
I like it. For those who are geographically not challenged, but for those who are for the people that don't travel much and they're thinking like, oh, how would I get to Springfield? What is the likely route? Like, where should people be flying into?
Sure. So Bradley, code is BDL. It's the Hartford airport. Super breeze to go in and out of. One of the easiest airports to get in and out of. Just really easy, cheap, self-park, all that good stuff. Also, our friends from New York, you know, the Amtrak rail is a like an underused asset. It's about a 3-hour train ride. And it's easy. It stops literally 4 blocks away from MGM. They have free shuttles from the brand new Union Station right over to MGM. So come on, come and see us. Jump on the train. I was trying to get Craig Stone from Do for a Win to come up. I said, just jump on the train. I know you're in Manhattan. You'll be here in 3 hours. It's a nice ride. We're located right off of Interstate 91, and that's the same road that a lot of people take up to go skiing up in Vermont and New Hampshire. So, it's a pretty easy place. We're in Western Massachusetts, about an hour and 50 minutes west from Boston. We're about an hour and 20 minutes north from Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods. We're about two and a half hours outside of Manhattan. And I make it down to Atlantic City in 4.5 hours, providing I leave early enough.
If I were to take the train up, would you meet me at the train station and provide a piggyback ride to MGM Springfield?
I'll tell you what, I will do better than that. I'll meet you at the train station and I'll have one of the pedal bike Ginshu rickshaw guys. And I'll ask him if I can pedal you all the way.
It's really no. It's a piggyback ride or nothing.
This was not a negotiation.
No.
Is it not a negotiation?
Counters. Nothing? No. Counters will not be even reviewed. That's the offer.
Well, we're going to see how far I'm going to make it. You know, I've been working out 6 days a week, Eric. We'll see how far I can carry you. That'll be good.
We've had other stories and badly regarding piggyback rides. I think we're gonna pass on it, but maybe the rickshaw is the right way to go.
You know, I'm not afraid, you guys. You know, I will clown it up for you. If you need me to do it to get you to come to Springfield, Massachusetts, and have some fun here in the city of First with me and the Art and the Game group, I'll put you on my back, buddy. I'll put the whole city on my back. Come on up. We're gonna have some fun.
So to close this out, Eric, I'm sure Chris, I don't know if you're betting sports regularly at all. Do either of you have Chris? You got any action on tonight's game?
No, World Series? I don't actually. So I'm heavy into hockey. Okay. I don't follow NFL as much. I actually just got eliminated out of the pigskin pick thing that I was doing with Vito, the ESPN thing. I don't bet football. So I listen to you guys talk about it, and I enjoy listening about it. I have some friends who bet football, and I guess we talked a little bit about it earlier, but, you know, I've seen some people go down some pretty deep holes with sports betting, so I'm real careful about it myself.
I was going to know, I am referring to the Major League Baseball game, World Series Game 10.
Seven.
10. Oh, yeah, is that still 10. Going on?
Game 7, yes.
Yeah.
It feels like game 10. That's why. Eric, do you got any action?
So I'm on the Nationals, both as a regular bet and as a charity bet. So I guess I don't know if the listener would want their affiliation mentioned. But the Shriners Children's Hospital, is in line for a very substantial donation. I got the Nationals at a really good price before the series started, and I went above our normal $25 donation. So, hopefully the Nationals win and the Shriners win.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome, Eric.
Yeah, I got the Nationals at 26-1 to win the World Series middle of the season. I have that bet pending, and I also took Scherzer on the money line. I mean, I think if he pitches, it means he's ready to pitch, and I'll take Scherzer over Greinke. But by the time everybody hears this, they'll know how right or wrong I may have been there. Chris, it was a pleasure.
Hey, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you guys taking the time out to allow me to come on your show. I'm a fan, and I really enjoy listening to what you're doing. Keep it up. You know, you keep me entertained when I have a little bit of chance to have some me time and listen to some podcasts. So thanks again, and I really appreciate all of your listeners, you know, giving me the time to learn a little bit about Springfield MGM and the Art in the Game podcast.
I don't know how I feel about you using Eric and I during your me time, but hey, whatever.
Well, I do different things during my me time. No judgment here. It's okay. I thank you for coming on, Chris. It's always a pleasure.
thanks, guys.
Eric, Chris, I enjoyed this. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can support the show. Thank you, everybody, for your support there. I'm Timothy Lawson. On behalf of Eric Rosenthal and Chris from Art in the Game podcast, good night, good luck.